start. So maybe you don't have all the right answers right away if you have them. Let's try to develop some sort of a discussion. So Elder Nick's going to lead us in that discussion.
So we have been talking about Ephesians 6:4 for quite some time, and that is, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And we've been talking about what it means to bring them up. We've been talking about what training means. We've been talking about what admonition means. We've been talking about of the Lord means. And
so a quick review, training, the word for training, it has to do with, the emphasis would be on chastisement, like in Hebrews when it talks about chastisement of God's people. The same word gets used there as for training. So training is not just chastisement, but it has an emphasis towards corporal punishment, if you will. Admonition has more to do with verbal training, verbally raising them up and training them up. So we've been discussing those things, and of the Lord and in the Lord. Go ahead.
And so Saturday we just decided to see if anybody, you know, had, as we concluded that several week long study, if anybody had anything to talk about, and we got to the topic of chastisement again, which, you know, just to make it easier on me and you, and I guess I'm just going to call that spanking from now on. So we got to the place where I asked this question, and the question was this: what is the purpose of spanking? And so that's what we're going to examine. If you were there on Saturday, you don't have to necessarily give the right answer right away.
Right. So y'all who were there and have, whatever, if you think you have the right answer from the study, hold back. So the question to the group is, what is the purpose of spanking? Tamara. 1 second. Hold on 1 second. We got somebody there. Go ahead, Tamara.
I don't know the first part of it, but to train the foolishness out. The Bible says to remove the foolishness from the child.
Okay. So Tamara says spanking is to train the foolishness out. What is your name?
Matthew.
Matthew.
I think it's, what was I going to say? I think it's probably just to show your children when they have erred so they know it for themselves.
Okay.
That's probably why our Heavenly Father chastises us, just so we know that we need to draw near to Him.
Okay. So Matthew said we spank to show our children when they have erred. Kevin?
Well, I'll just quote one of the Proverbs. In Proverbs 23, it says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he shall not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. So one of the purposes of chastisement or spanking is to help our children understand that there's consequences to their actions.
Okay, good. Good. Now, those answers are all fine, but I want to know, why do you really spank? So I'm asking you more realistically and practically.
Tammy has an answer.
If the answers are due, I want to know why you spank. Tammy, Mrs. Andercock.
I know this is not the right answer, just for the record, because I want her to stop doing it.
See, that's not the right answer just for the record, but I want to examine this. And I want us to all examine our real thinking. Why do you spank? And I would assert we spank most of the time to teach our children to stop doing whatever it is they did, or start doing whatever it is they didn't do.
But I always make sure that I preach the gospel right after.
Right. But I make sure I preach the gospel. Good. Good. But I would, hang on a minute, Annika. I would tell you that I want you to think for a minute. Because when you spank, let's think now. Why? And what is my goal? What is my goal? So, Sophia doesn't, She gets up from the table and walks away from the table, even though she's been told not to get up and walk away from the table without permission. So she gets a reminder for that. Why am I doing that? What's that? It's disobedience. But I will tell you why I do that is so she quits getting off the chair. Because if I spank her, she'll stop doing that. Matthew.
Yeah, I was brought up in a home where my parents chastised us with a paddle. You know, one of those paddle balls without the ball on it.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's perfect for spanking. But they would make it a point that they would not spank me angry. And after they would spank me, they'd always explain to me what I had done. And just let me know that they love me, you know.
Good, good. So, if I'm spanking, should Sophia get off the chair when I tell her not to? And if I spank her, she might stop doing that. So, I've achieved my goal, haven't I? She no longer gets off the chair when I tell her not to get off the chair. I have now achieved my goal. It is foolish to get off the chair when I tell you to get off the chair. I'm going to teach you not to be foolish and get off the chair when I tell you not to get off the chair. And now I've achieved my goal. And if I do enough of that, what will Sophia look like? Yep. In a biblical term, she'll look like a Pharisee, but she will look like a good kid. She will, first time obedience, boom, she's got it. Because I train her for that. And so she learns to be obedient, and she becomes a very obedient girl. I have now achieved my goal, haven't I? She's now obedient. Isn't that why I should spank? Kathy.
I think another reason to
hold that closer, because I can't.
Is to show authority. I think my kids nowadays, they don't realize that or want to accept the authority in their life. They want to be the authority.
Good. So I'm going to spank, and I'm going to get her to be how I want her to be, and I'm going to teach her I'm the boss. And now I've achieved my goal, right? Dad, you were there Saturday. You can't have the right answers, I don't think. Annika, Grandpa Duncan.
What I got on Saturday was that the reason for spanking biblically would be because they are sinning.
Yep. Hold your thought real quick. Hand the mic back to Annika. You were there Saturday. I don't want the right answer yet. I want to talk before we get the right answer, before we get the final answer from a Bible study that you were at that nobody else was at. A very few people were. So hand the microphone back to Annika so you don't give all that. Yep, perfect. Okay. I want you to think. I do want you to think. And I want you to understand that I would assert, and, you know, this was a big deal for Brad that day and Tyler. They both had, I mean, all of us. But look, we spank that our children do what we tell them to do or don't do what we tell them not to do. And we spank that they know I'm the boss. And then what I end up with is an obedient child. Is that not my goal? Is that not my goal, to have an obedient child?
So they're 18 years old. They got nice haircuts. They're clean. They're respectful. They're smart because they've been homeschooled. They do everything they're supposed to do. You get a little bit further down the road, maybe they're an attorney. They have a wife and three kids. They pay their taxes. Life is good, right? That's what we want, right? Is that not true? Don't we want our kids to be fine, upstanding citizens who pay their taxes and have a nice, respectable job and Take the wife out to date night once a week?
Is that not the goal?
Lady and I have been going through the Pilgrim's Progress, and yesterday we came to the chapter on salvation. And Christian's burden was released from his back. The bonds were broken. The burden fell off his back. And it gave Lydia and I a chance to talk that she has a burden on her back. And she argued with me that she doesn't. It's just her back. And I said, no, you do have a burden. And then this morning, as I chastised her, I told her again about the burden that she has on her back. And I believe ultimately the goal in chastisement is to point them to Christ, to see their need for Him.
I thought we were supposed to spank them when they're not being kind to their siblings and tell them Ephesians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but humility consider others better than yourselves. Spank them and get them to live that way. We have some standards. Our job is to have them live by these standards, is it not? Is that not my job, to have my children live by these standards?
Don't we want our kids to follow the law? Isn't that the goal? Obey the Ten Commandments?
Greta. Anybody who's not at the study, you can have the right answer, although Kevin, you're done talking now for a while. You've been banished from the microphone. You got this burden on the back nonsense coming out of you.
As I'm sitting here and really evaluating my thoughts during chastisement, it is much of behavior modification.
But isn't that the goal? Are we not to modify their behavior? Aren't we supposed to show Jesus by how well our family functions? That's what I was taught in growing kids, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I know the answer, the right answer. So I throw it in there, right? but really, I want their behavior changed. I'm not content if their behavior's
not changed. Look, you got five kids. If they don't act right, your life is
chaos.
Bedlam. So the goal has got to be to act right, isn't it? That they do what I tell them so our house can function. After all, Daddy's coming home, and I'm supposed to create this environment. I don't want him walking into a bunch of chaotic kids. My goal is that you behave, that Father's pleased. What's wrong with this picture? Somebody besides was there Saturday. What's wrong with this picture?
Can I say one more thing?
No, you were there Saturday. You keep missing. If you're there Saturday, don't raise your hand. Yeah, you don't get to talk about something else just yet.
So I was just talking with someone about this afternoon, about morality being one of the most dangerous...
No, stop it! Morality is a good thing! Is it not? Do I not want my children to be moral? Are you kidding me?
That's what we want for our country, isn't it?
I will spank the immorality out of them. They're going to be moral children. They're going to be good decision makers. They're going to make decisions as the Bible would tell them to make. I'm going to do that. Morality is a good thing, Greta. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, and as I'm thinking about the Pharisees versus...
What's wrong with the Pharisees? Jesus said they were the most religious people of their day.
And their hearts were the most hard. And it was the prostitutes and the sinners that were saved.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay, you microphone has to pass because that doesn't match with my reality. You just, I, I don't know what you... Pass the microphone. I don't care what you tell me. I am going to have my children behave. They're going to behave. And I'm going to punish them until they behave. What's wrong with this picture? You know you're going to get a mic grab when you get the right place, but try.
So it's horizontally focused, not God focused.
What do you mean?
So it's all about my desire to have my children obey me, my comfort.
But aren't they supposed to? Doesn't the Bible say children obey your parents?
Yes. However, what's my focus? Is my focus on raising a child who will be obedient, but his heart is corrupt and dark on the inside? He may look good. I mean, I've done that. And so it will fall apart at some point.
Right. So, again, the Zudes and the Bulkamas, Cunninghams, certainly not the Reeds. As you look around at the families, they do this right, don't they? I mean, since the day I got here, since the day I met the Bulkamas, they were doing this right. I met their family, and I was blown away.
Honey.
These children say yes, Dad, and yes, Mom. These children do whatever they're asked. They pretty much speak when spoken to. The only blip in the radar was Josh had a girlfriend over, but they assured me that was under control. But we played kickball. They didn't even care if they lost. Are you kidding me? They didn't care if they lost. We're out there diving for loose balls, trying to... The Reeds are running as fast as they can, pulling hamstrings, yelling at each other because we can't get somebody out. Don't laugh and don't shake your head. Yes, Brenda. And Brenda's like, this is our pastor? Cal, what have we done? But they do it right. Because their children are so gussied up. They're shiny. They're shiny. But the day I met them, Tyler wasn't even there. The day I met them, three out of three of them were dark-hearted, separated from God. It didn't take long to look at my kids and knew they were separated from God, did it? It didn't. Now, pastor seems to be now telling me, parent like he parents, don't do anything. Let them do whatever they want to do. Because I don't want them to be raised up to be little Pharisees. So don't spank them. Well, first of all, we can't do that because the Bible clearly says we must. So we have to know why we spank. So why, and you guys are all touching around it, so now anybody that wasn't there on Saturday can have the right answer, if you have it. Let's start now to talk about what's the right answer. What are we spanking for? Oh, Tamara has a comment or question, or so we're maybe going back.
More of a comment.
Okay.
So I think it was a couple weeks ago, Dara was giving a small testimony of what was happening with Lily. And that, in my mind, is doing it right, where there she was seeing her sin for whatever three-year-old can see. And so for me, that was such an edifying but convicting.
What was convicting about it?
Because I was way too much just giving reminders for my, like Tammy was saying, like just because they weren't doing what I wanted.
You guys
and
are
I wasn't
killing me here.
The
right, you're killing me here, kids. I'm sick and tired of this. Get in here and let's get a whooping. And I'm not going to be angry. And by the way, you need Jesus. Now stop making my life crazy.
I wasn't even saying that. And so now, you know, since that time, I've been, except for with Jet, it's a lot harder for me because he doesn't understand. But with the girls, I'm really like, you need Jesus. I mean, we talked about that today, how much Ella needs Jesus. And, you know, just taking every opportunity to really point them to, you know, even if it's not chastisement, it's still sitting against a wall or something. It's okay. Still, why were you doing that, you know?
Good. So, why then do we spank? I mean, what's the point? What are we? I think you're on hiatus. You're on hiatus for a minute. You're too smart or something. Veronica has her hand. Oh, Brenda, and then Veronica has her hand up. Go ahead. Why do we spank?
To consistently remind them of their dark hearts.
Okay. Good. So, Sophia can tell you, if you ask her, she'll tell you, she has a dark heart. It's pink now? Oh, she wants a pink one. It's dark and she wants a pink one. Well, she should want a new heart. Okay. We're going to go a little further. That's good. Veronica.
To provoke the stop of the action and to show the child the sin of the disobedience.
Okay, to provoke the stopping of the action. Okay. And the second part was? Show the child the sin of disobedience. Okay. First part sounded like behavior modification. Second part's getting close. What do they have to see? I know their need for Jesus. I got it. And you're right. And I'm not trying to say that's not right. What do they got to see?
Their inability to keep the law.
Good. They got to see the law. First of all. What is the law? It's in Galatians, right?
Galatians 3:25.
3:20 something. What is the law? In that particular, in this context, in that particular passage?
I'm guessing here. I don't have it in front of me, but to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
No. Yeah, that is the greatest commandment. I'm saying, what is the law in that passage? The law is what? Our tutor to what? To Christ. Our children have got to know they are breaking God's law. That's why they are getting spanked. And it's fine. It is true they're sinning. But they have to understand what that even means. Okay, their catechisms. What is sin? I don't know, probably zoo kids know those. They have them catechisms. They're not catechized. What is sin, Annika? Well, it isn't an abomination to God, but it's any transgression of the law. So it's okay if they sin, but you've got to know what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. What's that mean? So when Sophia gets a spanking or a reminder, it's not you disobeyed Daddy, and that displeases Daddy, and because I'm your authority, I'm going to give you a spanking now to see that you have to submit to authority. It is God commands you to obey your father and mother. That is God's law. You have disobeyed God's law. And the consequences of disobeying God's law is pain. I'm going to now bring you pain. And the only, and this, you're going to keep getting these from me and then from God. And in eternity, you're going to get it worse. But this law that you're breaking, that you're going to keep breaking, there's a solution. And it's Jesus Christ.
Let's back up for 1 second. I'd like everybody to turn to Galatians 3 because I want you to know this scripture. Because for all of your evangelistic efforts, whether that's in your house or whether it's somewhere else, we need to know this. Clearly. Without question, you need to know where it is. You need to know it. You need to be in every part of your thinking as you do evangelism. So, in Galatians 3, in verse 19, Paul starts by asking this question. What purpose then does the law serve? And then he gives us some information. And then go to verse 24. Then he answers his question. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law is our tutor to bring us to Christ. The law shows us. The law isn't something to be obeyed to make us right with God. That little bit I didn't read, he talks about that.
So that's the whole thing. If we spank and we say, you must obey Daddy. God says obey Daddy. You obey Daddy. All I've shown her is a law she cannot perform to. All I've pointed out to her is God's commands that she can't keep. I've given her no gospel. I've given her law. Too many of us spank giving them the law. Now, like we talked about Saturday. See, and you know, we kind of, it was a different discussion, obviously, like they always are. And we're talking about my adult children. And the good news is my adult children know they're not right with Christ. My 15-year-old child knows he's not right with Christ. He's under no illusion. And to this point, relatively moral, even though you guys know enough, he's got plenty of sin. But he's under no illusion. And I believe that for the last 10 years, 8 years of my children's lives, they've gotten a heavy dose of the gospel from their father. What they didn't get was spanked. So they didn't get the law. They got the gospel. They didn't get the reality of breaking the law costs something. And so, don't just preach your children the gospel. We are to spank. We are to chastise. We are to train the foolishness out of them. The gospel without the spanking is no different than the spanking without the gospel. Part of the gospel is the spanking for our children. You know, we jokingly said on Saturday, it ought to be called the gospel stick instead of the reminder stick. Donnie, you had a longer name. What was your long name? Tutor to Christ stick. Huh? You can call the stick the law. It's a little confusing. Mr. Zood, your father, Annika.
The comment that I made on Saturday that I think is worth sharing is for us, for me, we would chastise regularly. We would preach them the gospel when we chastise, but what I further connected is that I wasn't necessarily preaching the gospel because they were being chastised for their sin. So I would do both, but they weren't connected in my mind necessarily or in the moment of that. I more or less just thought that that's a great time we preach the gospel. And we would relate it to sin, but it was more meaningful for me on Saturday to strengthen the bond between the two of chastisement and preaching the gospel.
Right, because what you had said, Mr. Yant, you know, that's a little, but look, Brad has wanted well-behaved children. That's what he's wanted, and he's getting those. And if the gospel, in other words, if the whole picture is not put together, of the law they're breaking, which is why they're receiving the chastisement, and their need for Jesus Christ and repentance and faith. If that's not, then you're just going to raise up a bunch of little Pharisees that will do what you tell them to do because they don't like to get whoopings. And you will tutor them. The law will be a tutor to the law. And they will spend the rest of their lives trying to do better, like many of us have done. And we do it now when we forget the gospel in our own lives. We try to do better. Because the law just keeps bringing the law. You know, it says right here, but after the faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. I don't need a tutor. I don't need the law anymore. Now I desire the law, but I don't need the law. The law was my tutor to Christ, and I don't need a tutor anymore. Now I desire to follow the law, but it's not my tutor to Christ because I have faith that was gotten because of the law and me seeing this law I couldn't keep. I hope this is connecting. It's not spanking your kids to say, do better. Obey me. You're getting a spanking because you can't obey me. If you obey me, you won't get spankings. Okay, I'll obey. At least while you're watching. Right, Callie? You ain't watching, I ain't obeying. But while you're watching, I'll obey. Kevin, and then I want to just digress or change a little bit here.
Sure. I'm kind of reminded that this seems to me a parallel to why we would read the Bible, which makes us wise, gives us the ability to make us wise for salvation, as Paul writes to Timothy. So kind of the same concept. Well, what's the goal of reading the Bible to our children? And as I was thinking about what I was going to say in this regard, I don't believe my parents ever read the Bible to us as children. I can't recall that ever. And I was a really well-behaved child until I got away from home. And so I was the perfect little Pharisee.
Yep. Yeah, until you got away. Until they weren't watching. So, Greta, when your children don't act how they're supposed to act and chaos is abounding, ought you be irritated? How ought we look at that? I get to preach the gospel. It's like a street preacher that can't wait to get out of the box. I can't wait to get on the box. I'm on the box a lot, praise God. Oh, this is great, Andrew. Come with mother. I'm going to show you the law, God's law, and I'm going to show you that you need Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach you the gospel that you might be saved. Come on, little man. Oh, get over here. Come here. Okay, whoops, I'm not supposed to do it angry. Come here. You need Jesus. Now, go back out there and do not ever again pull your sister's hair. Go pull her hair. Pull it till your heart's content. And I'm going to beat you and show you the law. See, does that look different then? Does it look different to chastise with that thought? Or not? It even for me, as I can live there, it takes away any of that flesh that doesn't even want to spank my kids. Now, I'm not a masochist. It's not a yippee yahoo. It's a praise God I get to do this. The opportunity. Because, you know, I can preach the gospel to my adult children, but they don't understand the law. They don't understand consequences to that. They're gonna, they're gonna, and we just talked about this today with Tammy. The worst thing I can do for my adult children is get in, just like I don't want to make her not pull hair so that I don't have to spank her again. If she wants to pull hair, go pull hair. Not that I'm going to tell her to. But the worst thing I can do is try to keep my children from crashing and burning. My adult children. I can't protect them from, you know, because, look, if Nicholas lived in my home, he would have a lot less opportunity to sin. Right? In the ways he's sinning. So, I should bring him back home. Because the goal is a well-behaved child that I keep safe. The goal is that he hear the gospel. The whole goal is, so now every time I see him, I get an opportunity to tell him of his need for Jesus. What's that? Yeah, a full week of that. We'll get a lot of opportunity, won't we? Okay, what's anybody thinking? It's all, we already knew this. And Dad, you can actually talk now. We're back if you really want to. You don't have to, but you can.
Okay, we got what you're saying is punish based on, if you punish them, tell them what their sin is based on gospel, if that's possible. If you can do that, I'm like Kevin. My mom and grandmother went to church, but I don't ever remember seeing them read a Bible. And I know it was never read in my house, ever. I know that.
Oh, come on, didn't we? After Gentle Ben, we read every Sunday, didn't we?
But, you know, I certainly raised these three from a worldly perspective. Don't talk back to your mother. Don't tell me a lie. And do what I tell you to do, or you're going to get spanked. Okay. Now,
and we weren't very gussied up. You know, we weren't pharisaical, but
what?
We all made six-figure incomes. We all played Division I basketball. We all had big houses and cars, and so we were successful. And the thing is, prior to salvation, prior to understanding who God is, my dad was perfectly satisfied with how his boys turned out. Quite proud of it, actually. It turned out pretty well. Compare them to your kids. They make more money.
Back to the big houses. Back to the spanking, though, when they're little. There are certain things I suppose you could twist it around. If a kid runs in the street, tell him, don't do that. And second time, he needs a good, hard spanking.
So why is he getting a spanking? Because he did what you told him not to do?
Well, he's going to get hit by a car.
Okay, so he's getting a spanking. So we want to spank him so he doesn't get hit by a car.
Huh?
We want to spank him so that he doesn't get hit by a car.
Well, he could get hit by a car in a driveway, so he doesn't run out in the street.
Okay, so what you got is we spank them to teach them not to run out in the street.
I don't know how else to do it.
What's the goal? Why should they not run out in the street?
A car might hit them.
Okay, so if I now I'm 12 years old and I've discerned I'm not going to get hit by a car, so I'm going to run out in the street. So because the reason is I don't want to get hit by a car. Why should they not run out in the street? It's your favorite line when I was growing up.
Because I told you to.
Because I said so. Now, why is because I said so relevant? Because God says, child, I say so. He says, obey. And when you don't obey, you are breaking the law of Dad. See, that was my life. As soon as I got away from him, there was no law. There was no consequence. There was no punishment. Because I didn't know anything about God and His laws. That was not on my radar.
How were you brought up?
How was I brought up?
The training.
And the admonition of Duncan. The training and the admonition of the Duncan. And quite well. What my dad desired for me, I achieved. Because I was brought up in the training and admonition of the Duncan. So, this idea of having better behaved children is a bad idea. Now, a natural byproduct of spanking is you will have better behaved children. So you'll have fewer opportunities to preach them the gospel, which is kind of a bummer in one sense. So go back to my parenting, don't do anything, you get to preach the gospel all the time. Right? It's somewhere in the middle of all of that, isn't it? If I train them too well, I never get to preach the gospel again. Callie didn't need the gospel. When I met the Bulkamas, Callie did not need the gospel. But guess what? She needed the gospel. But from my eyes, I could have never seen that. Do you understand? I could have never seen that. So that's not to say they shouldn't have raised her that way. That is to say, raise her that way and make sure she understands successfully obeying me is impossible and it is not the goal. The goal of spanking is a tutor to Christ. Mr. Yant.
I guess it's very similar to our gospel preaching. If we're on a box on the street, lots of law. Lots of law needs to be preached. 90%, Whitfield said.
Because without the law, you don't have a gospel. And the gospel isn't please mother and father. I fall into this trap. I want to tell Sophia, you know, I'm already, that pleases me when you do that. She ought to say to me, who cares? And it shouldn't please me. Because even when she's as obedient as she knows how, cute as a little bug's ear and really having a great day, she needs the gospel. She needs Jesus Christ. I haven't done my job. Because the goal isn't a gussied up little kid, a whitewashed tomb full of dead man's bones. You know, we're going to, you know, it's a tangent and not even on the same topic, but it's on my mind because I think it fits. Maybe it doesn't, but this whole thing about self-esteem. Aren't we supposed to give our children self-esteem? Aren't we supposed to build their self-esteem? Right? And look, yep, okay, Pastor, of course we're not. But I'm gonna. You're so adorable. Oh, such a good girl. Oh, you did that very well. Good try. Better luck next time. You're a good kid. Tanner, you're a good kid. You got a few things you got to do a little different. Basically, you're a good kid. Right now, my son Tanner is a really helpful, respectful child to his mother and I. All except for coming to church. But for the most part, he's respectful and he's helpful. He's very good to his mother. I mean, I'm tempted to say he's a good kid. And he's not. He hates God. You know, Ashton, we've been through this before, but I really like Ashton. It is hard for me to be mad at Ashton. He's given me a couple of occasions to really preach him the gospel. But there aren't a lot of them. I wish there were more, Ashton, because you need Jesus. There's nothing good about you. And I don't have enough opportunity to tell you that. Because I don't see you in the dark places where the real stuff goes on. See, I didn't see Callie in the dark places where the real stuff went on. I didn't have very many opportunities to preach the gospel to Callie, except from the pulpit. So quit trying to train all that out of our kids so they don't do it. You'll lose your opportunity to preach the gospel. Brad. Train the foolishness out of them. Can you beat someone saved? No, you're showing them what foolishness is. What is foolishness? Who's a fool? Well, it says there is no God.
Brad. It was interesting you just said that to Ashton about the gospel, because as I'm sitting here thinking about, we have in this conversation, we have a small prerequisite that you must misbehave in order to get the gospel preached to you. And so, in my mind, I still have somewhat of a formula of both and or behavior modification and or not a requirement that they sin that we would preach our children the gospel.
Okay. I would agree with that statement. So training and admonition of the Lord. Admonishing is verbal training about the things of God, which includes the gospel. But the training, the spanking, the chastisement without the gospel is meaningless. You're creating law followers.
Yeah, so when I was listening,
I got you, brother.
You know, I know you didn't say, I hope I don't tell my children to go pull hair so I can preach them the gospel. You know, I'm still on the flip side of that and don't want them to do that. But as weighty as that side is the same thing as I need to have that same urgency to preach my children the gospel when they're not doing it. Because I don't wish Annika to go pull hair. I probably stop her from doing so.
Yeah,
and
yes,
of
sir.
That, I need to preach the gospel.
Yeah, see, so we had this
in time of non-conflict.
We had this discussion in parenting course one night, and I'll tell you, I think I know what you're saying, and I think I need to disagree with it strongly. As Sophia's about, and I do this way too often. Okay, so I don't get this right. But as Sophia's about to inch her way out of that chair, I need to tell her stop and get back in the chair, don't I? Because I don't want to have to give her a whooping. Did I get to preach her the gospel at all then? Does she even really know the law? Watch me interact with my son Jack. I've got to say things 14 times, verbal reminder after verbal reminder, because I only know how to admonish. I don't know how to train. I'm a pretty good admonisher. I'm not a very good trainer. Let her get off the chair. That's what she wants to do. So I'm going to try to stop her from that. So I don't have to give her that training. Sophia Grace. No crying. Did you have more? Anybody else? Oh, yeah, Brenda. I apologize. I forgot. It's not very nice to forget. And you were so nice and had your hand up so nice and then put it down when I acknowledged you, and then I was just going to let you go.
So as I think back over the years of doing what you were saying, one thing that has really helped me change that whole area is when we go through the Ten Commandments, or when we go through the catechism, having that constantly before my mind, knowing that the children know the answer. It's a constant way for me to bring up, you know, it's not that they're doing the wrong things, it's that they have a sinful nature. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a focus on what they're doing, but
it's
who
they
are.
It's why they're doing it. We've got to train their heart,
right,
don't we?
And then bring in the gospel because of that. So having those two elements together,
perfect,
just feels like I'm doing the right thing.
Good. By the way, for my wife and any other wife, or any other father, for that matter, and husbands, know your catechisms. You will be amazed how much easier parenting is when you know the catechisms. If you don't believe me, try it. You actually will, you're going to learn the gospel. You're going to learn about who God is. Because we're always stumbling for the right ways to say things, aren't we? When we go give them a reminder, or when we're just talking to somebody on the streets, know your catechisms. You'll be a really good street preacher. Know them. I mean, who made you? Sophia, who made you? God. Okay. Do you know how much is inside of that for me as I now raise her, that I understand God made her and she understands God made her? As I understand God made her, that really makes my parenting quite simple. If I forget she's God's, my parenting becomes a little challenging. Because she's mine. She's not mine. God gave me to her to steward, but she's not mine. Cal.
I'm sitting here thinking about how much our focus has changed around here. And I don't know since when, but in the last 6 months, it seems, and we're being driven toward preaching the gospel. And, you know, you've shared how, you know, it's because of maturing. It's because of, you know, we're not dealing with sin management like we were, and we've gone through lots to get here. And I'm just really sitting here praising God as I think of the parallels of how that same thing has happened in the homes. And I, nobody specifically, but as I think of families specifically, I just praise God for how homes are run in an orderly way. And so they're able to sit here tonight and hear this. And I don't hear people saying, boy, I just can't see how I can get this done. I hear wheels spinning of
this is
the logical next step, and it's just all very similar and very wonderful, and I praise God for.
And then you know, I don't know when it started, but it's about 3.5 years ago is when we started talking about what is the gospel.
Mrs. Darabont.
And I'm not going to do this, but if I went around this room and quizzed us, we'd have a lot higher pass rate, but we still need to continue to know the gospel. Because we need to be able to, in season and out of season, we need to be able to always be ready to give a reason for the hope we have. So that means, Kathy, we're prepared with lots of scripture, so whatever direction this thing comes from, I can bring it back to the gospel. You know, whatever the topic is, wherever it comes from, I can handle it. It doesn't have to go by script. And I'm watching a congregation that does that much better. And now, parenting the same way, how we run our homes, the focus is not better behaved children. It's the gospel. Seeking sinners. Saving sinners. Saving sinners. You know, we want to save our children. Preach them the gospel. Who had the microphone? It went somewhere. Daryl.
I just wanted to echo what Brenda said about catechisms. That's been huge in my life as I've done it with Lily. And we've done it for years. She's 3. We haven't gotten very far. But my ability to preach the gospel to her age and her ability to understand it has gone far beyond what I would have expected just from answering some small questions like,
good,
where was Jesus born? In a stable. And that's a stinky, dirty place. And Jesus came to save stinky, dirty people. And she
perfect.
Just gets that.
Perfect. You know, God made you. What else did he make? Everything. Why did God make you and everything? For his glory. Just knowing those three catechism questions, it's really easy to have a conversation with any age child right now about whatever's going on. God made you. He gets to dictate the rules. He made everything. It's all his. And your job is to glorify him. And how can you glorify God? By loving and obeying his commands. Why ought you to glorify God? Because he made me and takes care of me. I mean, we've got so that I, just remembering those five catechism questions, let alone 25, look at how you can then parent your children out of that. The gospel focus. And it's really, you know, it's not that tough, and there's no race. You have no 162 of them in 1 week. And when you get to 20, 24, 33, and you start in the Ten Commandments, go to a shorter version, because don't stop. It was directed at somebody very near and dear to me. Because the Ten Commandments are long and hard to memorize. Well, let's just shorten them down. It's fine. We can use the Ray Comfort one. Or skip that and come back to them later, even though they're very important. I don't want to skip them all together. Okay. Who else? Should we? I said this, stop. We'll stop here shortly, but should we care about our children's self-esteem? Ought we care about our children's self-esteem? By the way, your children aren't worthless and disposable. They're created in the image of God. So they're, but that's not self-esteem, that's God-esteem. Tammy?
I'm finding that kind of comes naturally. And it's not having to worry about pumping them up.
Right.
It's quite the opposite. It's how much time do you spend looking at yourself? You know, the microwave is not a mirror. I mean.
Good. See, so you kind of answered my question, even though you didn't, how I was reading my mind. Ought we care about their self-esteem? Absolutely. Crushing it. Absolutely. We absolutely should care about our children's self-esteem. Crushing it. Because if I've got self-esteem, why do I need Jesus? Greta.
I grew up with my parents pumping me up. And I think that hardened my heart so much. And even now, saved, I battle the flesh of, you're not that bad.
I was just going to say, I never could have known your parents raised you that way when I deal with your flesh. I never would have known that.
Yeah, right.
Can you guys imagine that Greta's parents made her feel pretty good about herself when her flesh shows up? I can't imagine that.
Wow.
Right, it hurts, right? But the flesh that we live with, well, so you know what? You can make fun of me. I got plenty of flesh to go around. But it's quite obvious. Those of us whose mothers thought we were angels. Talking to you. She would tell us. She would tell us, you boys are angels. You know what I'm doing? Really? All right, great. This is great. I could be an angel. And I'm a child of God. And you know what I'm... This is really cool. I'm an angel and a child of God. And I steal and I lie and I... Mother, what are... You did. My little angels. Yep.
What,
oh, yeah.
What is
Corey,
a very...
Oh, I'm go sorry. Ahead. No, go ahead. But Mr. No, you don't want it. Okay.
What is a very admirable Christian virtue? One of the most promoted Christian virtues in Scripture. Or way of... Sandy says humility. Okay? Remember what the definition of the word humility is? Let me help. The having of a humble opinion of oneself. A deep sense of one's moral littleness. Modesty, humility, lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind, self-esteem. Do they go together?
They're direct opposites. You want to build this up? Again, just look at my children. For most of their lives, they were told they were pretty good. If I wasn't telling them, which I was, my mother was telling them. So now try to knock down Tanner and his arrogance. He's got it going on. Good looking. Well spoken. Entrepreneurial. Pretty intelligent. Decent athletics. Guy's got the world by the tail. What does he need? There's no God smog. What do I need God for? You did a great job, parents and grandparents, of making me feel good about myself. And the minute that we try to let them know they're not, they still have a couple of grandparents that will let them know they are. And that's not them. And they can run to their house when it gets too tough at our house. And they will be built right back up. Now, again, you know, because we've been down this path, so I walk around telling they're wretched losers, sinners. Well, yes, kind of. But they're made in the image of God. They're not dogs. They're not cows. They're not gorillas. They're human beings with souls that will live forever. But they love themselves. What was you about the mirror? The microwave is not a mirror except for grace. Because check herself out. Right. Anything has a reflection. And you know what? Sophia, does God care if you're pretty? What does He care is pretty? What does He care if it's pretty? Outside or inside? Inside. Daddy, am I pretty? No, baby. Your hair looks nice enough and your dress is all right, but you're not pretty because you have a dark heart. That is so hard for me to do. You're adorable. I can't imagine how cute you are. That's really what I think in my flesh. I mean, really. But what's the question? What is the question even asked for? Because she desires to have her self-esteem built up and feel good about her. Because she really loves her. Hard, right, Kath? Hard con, adorable, which, by the way, the best part about Liesl is she's still not even cute, so we don't have to worry about that. Right? So she's got a while before we have to worry about that. But at some point, she's going to look like the rest of these zoo kids, and they're going to be really cute. Kath looks over at Liesl like, look, yeah. We'll look. We'll watch. We'll see. She'll be looking in the microwave too pretty soon. As soon as Pastor tells her she's cute, then she'll know it and she'll be looking in the microwave. Okay. Anyone else? Did I miss anyone else? He put his hand down then and said no thanks. Okay. Let's sing All I Have Is Christ. As we close, I once was lost in darkness.